Let us pray. O gracious God, Heavenly Father, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in a way, I have been thinking about this sermon for years. Not the specific sermon itself, but a question that I want to raise this morning, one that I have been baffled by literally for years, and in a sense was afraid, in a sense, to ask because I wasn't sure that there was a good answer. And yet I was kind of brave this year, and I said, Lord, I'm going to commit this to prayer and pray that you would reveal to me the answer to this question. And I believe he did. The question is this, what I believe one of the great mysteries of the resurrection story. Why didn't the disciples believe it? Why didn't they believe it? They had been told by Jesus on three different occasions that, quote, he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. We see that recorded in Matthew chapter 16, again in chapter 17, and again in chapter 20, three different times. And in one of those times, you remember Peter came so incensed, and he said, Lord, we're not going to let this happen to you. And Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. You have in mind the things of men and not the things of God. And that's part of our answer today, to have in mind the things of God and not the things of men. Now, even the chief priests and the Pharisees knew that Jesus had said he would be raised from the dead on the third day. That's why they wanted to guard the tomb. Remember, they went to Pilate and said, hey, this guy said that he was going to be raised. And if he's raised from the dead, it'll be even worse than before. And so they went and put soldiers to guard the tomb because even they knew that Jesus had made this claim. So the disciples knew it. Everyone knew that he had made this claim. Now, furthermore, raising people from the dead was not totally unknown. It was not an unknown phenomenon. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah raised a widow's son from the dead. So even in the Old Testament, there were records of people being raised from the dead. And as we know from John 11, Lazarus had been raised from the dead by Jesus. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus raised a little girl from the dead, the daughter of Jairus. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus raised a widow's son from the dead as he was approaching the town of Nain. When Jesus sent the disciples out, one of the things he told them to do was heal the sick and raise the dead. He told them, this is one of the powers that he gave them when he sent them out. Even King Herod, when he heard about Jesus and all the things that he was doing, Herod said, this is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. Remember, Herod had John beheaded because of his wife's daughter. And so John was beheaded, and now he hears Jesus doing these things, and he said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. So even Herod believed. So at that culture at that time, even from the Old Testament, it's not totally unknown that people would be raised from the dead. And yet, when the women told the apostles that Jesus had been raised from the dead, quote, they would not believe it. Mark chapter 16, verse 11. In Luke chapter 24, verse 11, we're told, the women's words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Crazy women, old wives' tales, going off and making up these stories, seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe it. Even when two disciples on the road to Emmaus went back and told them that they had seen the Lord, He had been known to them in the breaking of the bread, if you remember that in Luke chapter 24. And we're told in Mark 16, they did not believe them either. Even when the apostle Thomas, or when the apostles told Thomas, remember, Jesus came among them and Thomas wasn't there. And they told Thomas, they said, Thomas, the Lord's alive. He came and he appeared to us. Thomas is like, I don't believe it. Unless I can put my finger in his wounds, I will not believe. How could that be? How could that be? And amazingly, after being seen by many witnesses over a period of 40 days, when Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, this is according to Matthew 28, we're told he's about to ascend to heaven, we're told the disciples are gathered around him, quote, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Even at that point, some doubted. How could this be? So I took this to the Lord because I've always been baffled by it for years and years and years. How could it be? Surely if we were back then, we would have believed, right? Well, a couple things. Actually, two answers were given. One more partial answer and one, I think, the real true answer. I'll give the partial one first. As we learned from Bishop Terrell Glenn, he came and visited us last year, and actually I had heard this from him years ago, pain robs perspective, worship restores it. Pain robs perspective. We lose perspective in the midst of pain and suffering. Worship restores it. Well, I believe there's a corollary to that. Fear robs perspective, and God's word restores it. Fear robs perspective. God's word restores it. If you remember, the disciples were afraid. Twice we heard Jesus say to the women, don't be afraid. Why were the disciples afraid? When Jesus came among them, the doors were locked because they were afraid of the Jews. They thought they were victorious and they had put the leader to death and now they were going to go after the followers. And that was the fear that they had for their own lives. Remember, Peter made the claim, Lord, even if I have to die with you, I will go and be with you. I will never abandon you. What happened? Three times he denied the Lord. Why? Because he was afraid for his life. He lost perspective. And so the disciples, I think that's one reason. They simply lost perspective because they were so afraid. To kind of bring that into our current world today, I think this is happening in our world and even in the church. Because of this coronavirus scare, I think there's a tremendous fear that has come upon our culture. And I think there's two things that we're seeing today in terms of this coronavirus. In one sense, I think it is being drastically overestimated, and the reaction is drastically out of proportion to what is really happening. But on the other hand, I also think that we are grossly underestimating the impact of this pandemic. First, in what ways are we overestimating it? The original models that we were given predicted that up to 2 million, millions of people would die from this. The most recent model has now been revised to from millions to hundreds of thousands, now down maybe 60,000, they're saying, people may die from this virus. And so we would think, oh my goodness, 60,000 people, that's a lot of people. But do you know how many people die every day in our country? Some 300 million people. How many people die every day? Over 7,000 people die every single day in our country. Over 7,000. And so in a sense, I saw the latest figures. There's something like 20,000 people so far have died from this. But that means if over 7,000 people die a day, that more people have died just in the last 3 days than have died in the last 3 months because of this virus. Over 7,000 people each and every day. And it's not just from the various things. In 2008, 67,000 people died from drug overdose. 50,000 people died from suicide. So the number of people, even from the flu, back in 2017, 55,000 people died from the flu in 2017. So we're seeing comparable numbers about people dying from drug overdose, from alcohol abuse, from suicide, and even from the regular flu. And I think, in a sense, what people are looking forward to is a time that this will be over, and there will be no more deaths due to this virus. I don't think that day is ever going to come. So I think it's to keep in perspective that it's been drastically overestimated, and I believe overreacted to, that this thing is causing so many deaths, because the fact is people die, and in this country over 7,000 people every year, every day, 7,000 every day die from one thing or another. So we need to keep that in perspective, and in that sense, death is a part of our everyday life. Now, what about the other side? I think it's also being grossly underestimated, the impact of this pandemic. I've been seeing some commentaries, one person reflecting on things, and you've heard a bunch of them yourselves, I'm sure, but something as simple as shaking hands. I heard one person say, you know, we may never shake hands again. You know how we pass the peace in church? You know, everybody's hugging one another and sitting together, and we may never be able to do that again. Do you realize that? I mean, they're talking maybe in a sense of months that the government's going to say, okay, now you can start going out, you can start meeting together and start opening up some businesses. But even that, will there be a time in the next months, maybe it'll be years for us to recover, where people will feel safe enough to come together and sit side by side in a crowded church? And it's not just church. Think of things like sporting events. Going to football games or baseball games, how we're sitting so close together. How long will it be before people feel confident to be able to go to sporting events? What about entertainment, going to the movie theater? What about our education system, sending our kids to school, knowing they're going to be sitting next to snotty little Joey? Are parents going to want to do that? What about higher education, sending the kids off to college and living in dormitories? I think people rightly said this pandemic is going to impact our culture, not just for years, but possibly for decades, because of the fear that has been so inbred and this distancing now that we're being told to do, and I think many people feel needed to do. Things like wearing masks in public are going to become very common. And so this effect of pandemic, I think, has been both overly reacted to and also underreacted to. It's going to be months and years and maybe decades before we fully respond to that. And what is it being driven by? It's being driven by fear. And what is fear causing? Fear is causing us to lose perspective. So what we want to do is try to go back and get a biblical perspective of the world that we are living in, which is a world that has risks, a world that involves people dying. In the United States, over 7,000 people every single day. So I think that was the first thing in terms of the disciples. Why couldn't they believe it? They simply lost perspective because of the fear they had for their own personal safety. That was the first thing the Lord gave me. And I think, again, as Tim Keller said, I shared this a week or so ago, anxiety is imagining the future without Christ. See, that's the worldly perspective, imagining the future without Christ. The Christian perspective, the biblical perspective, is to imagine the future with Christ. And that brings me to the second thing that I think the Lord revealed to me, which was really the more important of the two. Again, for years I wrestled with that question, why could they simply not believe? And yet we today find it so easy to believe. And surely think that if we were back in that time, we would have believed when the women came and said he's risen. Oh yeah, he told us he was going to. Isn't that great? They would have been waiting and waiting on Saturday. Oh, Sunday's coming, Sunday's coming. But no, they were living in fear. What was the difference between them and us? And the difference the Lord revealed to me was they did not at that time have the Holy Spirit. Think of that. They did not have the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit had not been given until Jesus ascended to heaven. And that's what we celebrate today. Because of his resurrection from life, he was then ascended to heaven and he then sent the Holy Spirit. and on the day of Pentecost was poured out upon all people. We have the Holy Spirit. And at that time, they did not. So we find it so easy to believe. Well, of course we believe in the resurrection, because we have the Holy Spirit, and they did not. And I would dare say that's some affirmation, I hope, for each and every one of us. Because there's so many people out there in the world who do not believe and are not celebrating today. Today is just another day for them. What is the difference? Because we're so smart? Because we're so great? Because God has put his Holy Spirit in us. And that is why we believe. Nothing to do with ourselves. No reason for us to boast. It is simply God putting his Holy Spirit in us. Why us and not everybody? Who knows? We don't know. But it is the gift of the Holy Spirit that allows us to believe. And remember, those poor apostles, those poor disciples, did not receive the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost. So again, let's bring that into the current day. Because we have the Holy Spirit, and we need to live in that confidence of knowing that God is with us through this. And so we believe today. We believe Jesus, in fact, is alive. He was raised from the dead. And yet we still have that sense of fear. I believe in lots of Christians. It's just a normal thing. And so what is that? I believe it means that we need to get back to the first reason, which was having proper perspective. Because fear is part of this war between the flesh and the spirit. And it is so ingrained in our humanness, in our flesh, of fear of dying, of fear of suffering. And so we need perspective. We have the Holy Spirit. We know God is in control. We know in our mind death is not to be feared. And yet, how do we live in this world? We need to keep that perspective. I want to share with you two stories that have to deal with fear and proper biblical perspective. Jesus always told parables, and what a wonderful way of teaching. And I've been listening to a lot of teachings about this subject, and two stories in particular that really, I think, reinforced to me the truth of not only that Jesus is alive and believing in that, but living our lives according to that, which is having the proper perspective. The first story I got from listening to a teaching by David Jeremiah, he said that there was a pastor who was taking a flight, traveling from one city to another. And at some point during the flight attendant announced that they were going to stop serving refreshments and meals because they were expecting to hit some heavy turbulence. And so please, everyone, return to your seat. Put your seat belts on. I know many of us have been through this, right? And they say, look, we got the turbulence coming. Be sure to sit in your seat and put your seat belt on. Well, sure enough, they came into this heavy turbulence, and this plane was really knocked around. It went up, and then it went down, and it felt like it was falling to the ground, and people were terrified, absolutely terrified on this plane. And this pastor noticed that there was this girl, and this girl there, and she's just reading her book, and she just seems to be totally oblivious to what's going on. And he was amazed to see how all the adults and others are just going frantic with fear, and this young girl is just reading her book. And so after the flight landed, thanks be to God, the pastor asked this girl, she said, I noticed that while everybody else was going crazy, you seemed to have such a sense of peace. You seemed like you just weren't worried at all. He said, how is that? She said, because my daddy's the pilot, and I know he's going to bring me home. My daddy's the pilot. He's going to bring me home. That was the confidence she had. Her daddy was real. He was flying the plane, and he was bringing her home. Powerful stuff. The second story I share with you is about Tony Evans. Tony Evans, a very well-known preacher, and I heard this in a teaching from Tim Keller, but I went back and actually looked at the video myself. Tony Evans' wife died, I'm not sure how many years ago that was, and when they were having the memorial service, their son, Jonathan Evans, gave a eulogy for his mother. And so Jonathan Evans was sharing with the people gathered in this church at this memorial service, and he was sharing with the people how he had been struggling with God when his mother was so ill, and of course praying that God would heal her. He would make her well again. And they had T.D. Jakes and all these popular people coming, and they're going around and they're praying against this. They're going to break down the walls of this cancer. And they thought for sure, you know, the powerful prayers of all these people, God surely would show his glory and bring healing to his mother. And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen because God gave Jonathan Evans this answer. God told him that there were always two answers to every prayer. God told them that his mother would be healed or she would be healed. She would be healed or she would be healed. She would be taken care of or she would be taken care of. She would live or she would live. She would be with family or she would be with family. God said to him, the victory belongs to me. And that's what we celebrate today, the victory. And one day it will come for us as well, or for our loved ones. There's always two answers. They will be healed, or they will be healed. They'll be taken care of, or they'll be taken care of. They will live, or they will live. And they'll be with family, or they will be with family, because the victory belongs to God. This is biblical, godly perspective in response to the fears of this world. And this is what we celebrate today. Jesus is alive. He is the pilot. And he's bringing us home. And one day, we will be healed, or we will be healed. We will live, or we will live. Because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is alive and he's with us. So the kingdom of God is at hand. And because Jesus is alive, the best is yet to come. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Amen.